March 2002. It's our honey. Learn more. Because we have to each one find out our own truth. You have to find out what is true deep within you. And you can't just believe in something because somebody said it. You've got to run it through your God self. And here's where God lives. This is what Helene's done. And this is what she's going to share with us this evening. This is our Helene.
In two places. Mm-hmm. I'll put the light on there. Is that okay? Not going to blind you? Well, thank you all for coming here tonight. I hope you enjoy my talk. It took me a year to develop this one. And I would like to start off by revealing my sources. Now, Connie Ferris, I really love her, but every time she speaks, she lets you know what she's read, and she brings the book. And I was inspired by this book. It's called Living Somewhere Between Estrogen and Death. And this was one of my many Christmas presents this year, and I figured this would come in handy. Now, last year when I was 49, I decided that I should go into training to turn 50. And that was kind of like a unique concept. I told many people about it. I said, well, gee, did you go into training to be 40? I said, no, but I think I have to go into training to be 50. And that's what I did. I set out, I changed my lifestyle a little bit, and I became 50 this year, March 3rd. And I want to share what it's like to be a 50-year-old tonight. Now that I've turned 50 years old, I like to consider myself in an exclusive club. But I understand that the perks do not begin until I'm 55. So I have to be patient. Oy vey, one more thing I have to be patient about. There's always a catch in life. I think it's important to keep up with our sense of humor, even if we cannot keep up with our knees. At 50, you realize that you become your parents, both of them. Has that happened to you? Now, when you're 20, you think you're invincible. You'll last forever, you will live forever, and you will never be your parents. At 50, you realize you're not invincible, and you are your parents. Keep up with me here. Some people say that life begins at 50. Now, I know I'm having memory lapses now. So does that mean that I will forget the last 50 years so life truly does begin now? Is that what it means? Now that I'm 50, big print appeals to me. So does fiber. And I understand paper is fibrous. Could use a little salt and pepper, though. You know, my hearing is going, too. Someone was trying to tell me that reaching 50 was a millstone, and it took me a while to figure out what is a millstone. They were saying it was a milestone and not a millstone, which led me to think, well, milestone rhymes with gallstone, and that gives brand new meaning to getting stoned. This is what we need, people. This is what we need at whatever age we are. A little laughter. Now, have you noticed there's a rash of 50-year-old breakouts? And she's fanning herself. She just turned 50 yesterday. I will lend you this book. It's the estrogen. Yeah, there's a lot of people turning 50 this year, and you know who you are. For those of you under 50, pay attention because this may apply to you one day. Now, I'm not sure what the proverbial midlife crisis begins, when it begins or what it is, but I'm ready for it because, you know, I went into training last year. And I'm anti-everything these days. I'm anti-sugar, I'm anti-fat, I'm anti-smoke, anti-noise. I've become anti-inflammatory. And I'm anti-gravity. Now, speaking of gravity, I understand what you lose in elasticity, you gain in wisdom. Have you heard that?
No.
Yeah, the older you get, the tougher it is to lose weight. Because by then, your body and your fat have become such good friends, you don't want to be accused of breaking up the friendship. That's why it's so difficult. When you're 50, it takes you longer to turn the page, too, let me tell you. Now, at 50, you don't need to eat health food. I hate to tell you this. You need all the preservatives you can get. And you know what I like best about 50? I can still make you laugh, so keep that up. Now, there has to be some advantages to being 50 and over. I don't want to exclude the people over 50. You know, I did some research on the internet, and I found out the following advantages. Let's face it, when you're 50 and older, kidnappers are not very interested in you. Have you noticed that? In a hostage situation, you are likely to be released first. No one expects you to run into a burning building. People no longer view you as a hypochondriac. Think about that one. And there's nothing left to learn the hard way anymore. Amen to that, right? You no longer think of speed limits as a challenge. Your secrets are safe with your friends as they cannot remember them either. One of the biggest problems I'm having now is repeating myself. And isn't that one of the prerogatives of aging, though? The way I look at it, if I've already said everything I wanted to say in my life, so from here on out, I'm just repeating myself. Now, I'll get serious a little bit here. I'm aware that some people in their middle years feel they're just trying to survive in their everyday lives. Pressures mount, people struggle with their children, their hubbies, or their parents, who face health challenges, divorce, or some other combination of factors. That's life. It's part of life. But to these people, I say, step out in faith. Take some risks. Choose life. Haven't you been facing challenges your entire life? What has changed? Hopefully it's you. Be confident. In order to have a rainbow, you need both sunshine and the rain. And into every life, a little rain will fall. Hang on to your dreams, however, whatever they may be. It's not too late. We need not outgrow our dreams. We're not too old to dream. Would you believe that Julia Child's first cookbook was rejected? Did you know that? Or that Dr. Seuss was turned down 24 times? Before a publisher said yes, and Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame opened his first franchise when he was in his 60s. Going up the ladder here, Mother Teresa devoted her entire life to working with the poor in Calcutta in anonymity. It wasn't until she was in her 70s that recognition came her way. And let us not forget about John Glenn, who asked to go on a space mission when he was in his 70s, and he did, and I believe he was 75. And Moses, let's not forget Moses, who was 80 years old when he confronted Pharaoh. And I'm sure I can go beyond this in octogenarians, but this is the little list that I have, and I think it's quite impressive. It's impressive because some people's star shines early in life, and others take a while. It happens later in life. We all have our glory days. We all shine in our own unique way and in our own time. Remember the phrase, late bloomers? Well, I would like to think there's still some bloom left on the rose at any age, even if it comes down to the last twinkle in your eye. So, now that I've lived for half a century, that sounds severe. What have I truly learned? And I will tell you tonight, I thought about this a little. And number one, do not forget your sense of humor, because it's the best tune-up for your body and soul. Do not forget the child that's in you. Let her or him out every once and again. Do not forget that others have paid the price for the freedom we enjoy, that voting, living, worshiping in a democracy is priceless. I have learned that no matter how bad it is today, tomorrow will be a better today. I believe you should always do the right thing. Always set your sights high. So high you might say that you're looking towards heaven. And listen with an open heart. That will help you make a correct decision. I have learned that you shouldn't go through life with a catcher's mitt on both hands. You need to be able to throw something back. I have learned that it doesn't cost you a penny to say hello, how are you? I've learned that people may forget what you said, what you did, but they will not forget how you made them feel. I learned that I still have a lot to learn. Now, more deference to the men in this room, I had to choose a paragraph to either balance the estrogen. So I was looking for a little testosterone. So I turned to, I was looking at Hemingway, I turned to Jack London, and I came across this sentence here, which this paragraph, I should say, which I like. And I'll read this to you. And this is what Jack London said. He said, "I would rather be ashes than dust. I would rather that my spark should burn out in a brilliant blaze than it should be stifled by dry rot. I would rather be a superb meteor, every atom of me in magnificent glow, than a sleepy and permanent planet. The proper function of man is to live, not to exist. I shall not waste my days in trying to prolong them. I shall use my time." And I think that says everything that I wanted to say tonight. God bless.